Buddy, we're going to get right into God's Word. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. Everybody got your Bible? That's a healthy church. Right here, Sharon needs one. Where are the ushers? Okay. Come on, you're a grandpa now. That doesn't mean you move slower. Grandparents get younger looking all the time, don't they? It's amazing. Okay, this is the time of year. We just have to come back down to earth. That's what Christmas is all about. God coming down to this earth. And I might step on a few toes here this morning, but you know what? We need to truly get back to the basics of what Christmas is all about. And so I'm going to take the next 5 or 6 hours here this morning just to kind of straighten some things. Just kidding. We're going to get into God's Word, Luke chapter 2 this morning. The real Christmas story. And I think it's a time that we as believers just need to settle our hearts in from all the hustle and bustle and all this stuff that we have going on around us and focus on what is really, really, really the important thing about Christmas. We've opened our Bibles. Let's open our hearts this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. I pray, Lord, with open ears and open Bibles and open hearts, you would speak to us. And it's so true. There's no gift that we can give you except for one. You desire our heart. And I pray for each and every one of us here this morning that we would absolutely 100% know and be assured that Jesus Christ lives in our heart. That we have received the greatest gift of all. Emmanuel, God with us, who came to save his people from their sins. That's the Christmas message. And so this morning, speak to us, I pray, Lord, through your word. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight. And may we be like the shepherds that we're going to see in our text. And just get so excited about the true meaning of Christmas that we would take it outside of these doors. To a world that is just caught up in all sorts of things. And so, Lord, we love you. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the greatest gift of all, your Son. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Inventory time. What does Christmas mean to you? And that's between you and God. Is it all about a tree? It's about a tree for me. But not a decorated one. It's about a tree that Jesus Christ died on for me. That's why he came into this world, to be nailed to a tree. Is it about lights? In a sense, it is. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Is it about presents? Well, it all depends on how you spell it. I like P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. I love his presence within my life. Santa? I'll jump over that one. I can really give that one a go. As I mentioned Wednesday, I can find St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John, but I don't find St. Nicholas anywhere in this book. I'll move on. It's not about a reindeer with a red nose. Of course, there's a lot of people getting their noses red this time of the year. Frosty, elves, sleighs, mistletoe, shopping, caroling, angels, that's part of it, a manger, going to talk about that, shepherds, wise men, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, Bethlehem. We're going to get right into God's Word this morning and see what God's Word says about Christmas. And right off the bat, do you know that the word Christmas is not even found in the Bible? You can't find Christmas anywhere. Webster was a believer. He wrote Webster's Dictionary. Christmas means Christ-Mass, or Christ-Rite, R-I-T-E. A rite is a solemn ceremonial act. He says it's the yearly celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. That's what Webster tells us. You look in modern dictionaries, you won't find that today. They've eliminated it, they've taken it out, they water it down. They're hiding the truth from the world out there. How sad. Realistically, the birth of Jesus Christ took place no later than October. I'm not going to get into that one. But the shepherds were still in the fields up until October. And the actual birth of Jesus Christ is believed to have been mid to late September. But the date is not the all-important thing. The very fact that Jesus Christ came into this world and was born of a virgin and came to die for our sins is the all-important thing. And I think it's important that we recognize that this time of the year. I do a little thing I call Face in the Book on Facebook. I do a little Devo on occasion. And this last week I wrote, what if it was your birthday? And they were throwing big parties everywhere and you weren't invited. It almost brings me to tears that that's what's going on in America today. There are many people celebrating what they're calling Christmas, but Jesus isn't even invited to his own birthday party. That breaks my heart. The all-important thing being that Christ was born and why Christ was born. Last Sunday, Pastor Ryan began the birth of Christ with the genealogy. It's a part of the Bible a lot of people skip over, don't they? The begot, 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 begot for the first, 17 verses of Matthew chapter 1. But you know what? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's there for a reason. We have Christ's genealogy for good reason. It gives us proof that he is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, because he had to be born into the proper family tree. This morning, I'm going to begin with another genealogy, and you're going, oh, no, here we go. But this genealogy also is given by the inspiration of God. God doesn't waste words, and he gives us an incredible story in Genesis chapter 5 in the genealogy. Why Jesus came and why Jesus was born. Do you know we find that in Genesis chapter 5 genealogy? Why was Jesus born into this world? Is truly the reason why we celebrate Christmas. I'm going to put my ribbon here and I'll read it for you. You can turn left to Genesis 5 if you choose to do so. But I think this is really important stuff. And I remember the first time I heard this shared, it blew me away. I thought, what? How did I miss that? That's why many times I tell you, get yourself a Bible dictionary, get yourself a concordance, do word studies, do studies of the names. And that's what we're going to look at here this morning. I won't read through the whole section, but what I want to do is I want to give you the names, every name mentioned here in chapter 5, and what the name means, okay? Adam is the first one in verse 1. His name means man. His son was Seth. His name means appointed. Then you get down to verse 6. Seth's son was Enosh, mortal. Then you get to verse 10, Canaan. His name means sorrowful. Verse 13, the Hawaiian guy, Mahalel. Mahalalel, okay, which means the blessed God. Jared, the jeweler in verse 18. His name means shall come down. His son was Enoch. His name means teaching. Verse 22, Methuselah, his death shall bring. 25, Lamech, the despairing, rest and comfort. So you're going, okay, Pastor Joe, where are you going with that one? Well, let me just read the names to you as they're written. Man, appointed mortal, sorrowful. The blessed God shall come down, teaching. His death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. That's God's incredible plan. That's the Christmas story way back in Genesis chapter 5. And a lot of people miss that. We go through our one-year Bibles and just breeze over a lot of the genealogies because, number one, you know, we can't pronounce the names, the Smiths and the Joneses and the Garcias. But every name is important. Would you say that that's important stuff there? What an incredible picture of the true Christmas story. Why he came. Back to Luke chapter 2. So when Gabriel came to Mary, he said to her, remember when Ryan taught last week, rejoice, highly favored one. Gabriel said to her, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you, not above women, but among women, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua, or Jesus, which, by the way, means Jehovah is salvation. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Again, we find that in the genealogy. The Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Again, last week in Matthew chapter 1, when Gabriel visited Joseph, he told Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, if someone would ask me to sum up what Christmas is all about in one statement, that would be it. He shall save his people from their sins. That's what Christmas is truly all about. How do we miss that today? Look what's going on. Do we truly recognize that Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from our sins? We're all sinners, every single one of us. And again, Isaiah confirms in Scripture, doesn't he? All through Scripture. Do you know that there are over 351 Old Testament Scriptures that Jesus Christ fulfilled when he was born into this world? The odds are insurmountable. Isaiah 7:14, again, confirmed by Scripture, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That's another definition of Christmas, God with us. And let me ask you this morning, on Christmas morning, is God with you? Before you start ripping open presents, do you open the Bible and read the Christmas story to your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and let them know what the true meaning of Christmas is? God with us. So what do we have here? What is the birth of Christ truly all about? Man, appointed mortal, sorrowful. The blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. Look at the world today. We're singing joy to the world. Is there joy in the world today? Do you see a lot of joy in the world today? I used to sing it before I came to know Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I never thought about the words. Let every heart prepare him room. Meaning that everyone has a free will and a free won't, whether or not you want to prepare your heart to make room for him. Wow. I remember the first year I got saved, we sang that song and tears started running down my face because I finally realized what Christmas was all about. Jesus was in my heart, finally. Let every heart prepare him room. God with us, Gabriel said. He shall save his people from their sins, Gabriel said to both Mary and Joseph. That's why Jesus came. And so this morning, it's not what's under the tree that truly matters, is it? It really isn't. There's a lot of people that will have nothing under the tree all over the world. Jesus, again, according to Isaiah, came to die on a tree for you and for me. And Isaiah gives us a blow-by-blow description of that taking place to God's Son. This precious baby one day would grow to be a man and be nailed to a tree for our sins. He would wear on that little baby head one day A crown of thorns would be pressed into his skull. He was be beaten and marred more than any man for you and for me, so that we could be saved. That's why he came. So that you might receive the greatest gift of all. There is absolutely nothing in this world that I would take in place of forgiveness of all of my sins. Amen. You can have your Bentleys and your Rolls Royces and you can have your mansions. And all. Someone posted a cool thing on Facebook the other day. It showed a mansion and it said, the rich. And next to it, it showed an old hut in Africa with some poor people, said the poor. And then right below it were two graves and it said the rich and the poor. The rich and the poor have the final ending. Likewise, like one another. The grave. Naked we come in, naked we come out. And I think the all-important thing is that we need to receive the greatest gift of all, forgiveness of all of our sin. And with that comes peace with God. And even with all that's going on in the world today, I have peace in my heart with God. Because the Bible says we have a peace that surpasses all understanding, meaning we can't quite comprehend or understand it, but we got it, don't we? How in this world can we have peace in our hearts when the world is coming apart at the seams? They're stripping everything away. What Tina was mentioning yesterday, no Rose Parade this year. You look around, they're stripping everything away from us. But there's one thing that they cannot strip away from you, my friend, and that's Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. And so here we see, we have forgiveness of sin, peace with God, eternal life in heaven forever. So, Mary has conceived Jesus in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw that last week. But we have a slight problem here. We do, but God doesn't. My Bible tells me that with God all things are possible and nothing is impossible. And so we have a slight problem here for some who by this time, Mary is in her third trimester. She is in Nazareth. And according to Bible prophecy, Micah 5:2, the Christ, the Messiah, has to be born in Bethlehem. Uh-oh. 90 miles away. Third trimester. Can you ladies that have born children imagine what that must have been like? How about a donkey ride for 90 miles through rough terrain? Can you imagine? Wow. That's funny. Tina and I joked when she was giving birth to Kelly, our daughter. Her mom shows up in a Corvette. My daughter was taken to the hospital in a Corvette. And they're not the smoothest riding vehicle all the way to Intercommunity Hospital in Covina. But can you imagine what it must have been like for Mary? 90 miles away. And it's a grueling trip to get there. Then again, it was told to Mary by Gabriel, with God, nothing will be impossible. And so look at verse 1 this morning. It just so happens. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And so he sends out a decree to get the world registered. Why? So they could tax them. That's the bottom line, in his own wicked heart. But isn't it amazing how God even uses the wicked to accomplish his perfect plan? Little did he know that he was merely a puppet in God's hands. And you know what? That keeps me going today. There are a lot of politicians, a lot of people making decisions in the world and in our country today that really, 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 really get us angry. But you know what they are? In all reality, they are a puppet in the hands of God, because God has control of everything that's going on. We may be out of our comfort zone a little bit. We may be thinking, God, what are you doing? I can honestly just step back and go, God, you've got this. God is sovereign. I'm not. God is. And God is going to accomplish his perfect plan, and that includes using puppets to do so. One big puppet show we got going on in Washington. But you know what? He's just merely a puppet, and God is using this pagan ruler to accomplish his own divine plan. Look at what happens here. Verse 2. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, and so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to a city of David, which is called, what a coincidence, Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Isn't it amazing how God works? He waits right up till the last minute, third trimester. Donkey ride. But you know what? God is perfect. God's timing is perfect. We need to wait on him today. Don't get ahead of God. Don't try to make things happen. Rest in him. Isn't that what Genesis 5 said? He would bring us peace and rest. Man, what are we freaking out about? Chill out. God's perfect. God is sovereign. God never loses a battle. God never says, oops. I remind myself of that every morning when I look in the mirror. Really, God? You never say, oops? God controls the whole world. At all times, in all places, God works his perfect will. Do you really believe that? I believe that with all of my heart and my soul and all of my strength. The Old Testament's filled with prophecies that God's son would be born in David's royal line. Both Mary and Joseph were descendants of David. You got Joseph's lineage in Matthew 1, and you have Mary's lineage to the house of David in Luke chapter 3. It's all there, absolutely perfect. The decree of Caesar Augustus brought Mary, Joseph, and Jesus to Bethlehem. Isn't that amazing how God works? At exactly the right time to fulfill the prophecy of Micah 5:2. Born in Bethlehem, the city of David, the house of bread. It's not by coincidence that the bread of life, Jesus Christ, was born in the city called the house of bread, the city of David. At exactly the right time. 90 miles, that's a long way, folks. Third trimester. And Mary's on a donkey. But you know me, I kind of like to read between the lines. I wonder what Mary thought, bearing the Christ child in her womb, when she got onto the back of that donkey. Do you know what is on the back of a donkey? Google it, check it out. A cross. On every donkey, there's a cross on their back that goes from the top of their head down to almost to their tail, and from shoulder to shoulder, there is a cross on a donkey. Coincidence? Nope. Then I have to believe when she got on that donkey, she not only believed she had the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, but deep down in her heart, as we'll see in a moment, Mary pondered these things. She knew that the cross awaited her son one day. The amazing thing? She would deliver her deliverer. Yeah. And guess what? She also delivered your deliverer, if you're a believer. And she also delivered my deliverer. Praise be to God. And if you have not received the greatest Christmas gift of all, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, you have not received the deliverer. You need to receive the greatest gift of all. Because Mary's giving birth to Christ was special delivery for you and for me. Verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed, look at this, for her to be delivered. And we can take that more than one way, can't we? And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Wow. Why is it at times we doubt God? Why is it at times as believers, we as God's children have the idea, Lord, I'm being obedient, what's going on here? Oftentimes it's because it's not going on according to our perfect plan. Lord, I'm doing what you called me to do. How come I'm facing resistance? How come I'm going through this particular thing, whatever it might be? Lord, I'm trying to do the best I can in submitting to your word and your will. Why aren't things easier? Have you not found as a Christian that one of the confirmations of you being on the right track is resistance? Man, I have found that in ministry over the years. And man, Corey's smiling. He knows that, man, you know what? When you're on track, there's going to be resistance. I get a little nervous when things are going too smooth. I'm looking over my shoulder, you know. Why aren't things easier? Why aren't things smoother? Because it is a spiritual battle out there. It's a battle for the souls of men and women. When we begin to face discomfort, a time of inconvenience and even resistance, we begin to doubt. That's why we walk by faith in God's word. We don't walk by feeling. We don't walk by how we feel, because it doesn't always feel good to walk in obedience to God, because it's contrary to our flesh. Did I hear him right? What am I doing? But did you notice with Mary and Joseph and Jesus, this precious little family, as they're heading to Bethlehem, God didn't soften the bumpy road. That's God's son in her womb. And God didn't soften the journey. But you know what I find when I read the account from Matthew and Mark and Luke, is that I don't find one complaint from Mary or Joseph. Isn't that amazing? Bumpy road and all. No telling what they had to face for a 90-mile trek. God did not provide a 5-star hotel. Not even Motel 6. Tom Baudet wasn't even there to leave the light on for him. You know what awaited them? A feeding trough in what many think was a stable, but I think it was a cave. I've been to Israel a few times. I've seen feeding troughs. They're not made out of wood. They're made out of stone. They're hewn out of stone. Solomon's Stables, we were there, and I've got pictures of it. And here he is in a feeding trough, more than likely in a stinky old cave, wrapped in rags. What? No fifth wheel? They traveled 90 miles without a fifth wheel or a coach. But you know what? Not one complaint. Not one complaint. Why? Because they rested and trusted in the Lord. They were young kids. Mary was a teenager. We don't know how old Joseph was. But you know what? When we trust God at his word, we can rest in his will. When we are in God's will, when we do God's will, we're never promised comfort and convenience. But you know what? He promises to see you all the way there. And it's the same with you and I today. We live in desperate times, don't we? Times like I've never seen in my lifetime. But what keeps me going is that God is going to see us all the way home. And it's been a little bumpy along the way, hasn't it? Would you say? Like I've never seen. But that's okay. God has this. What we are promised is that everything, including the bumps and the discomforts and the inconveniences, are all part of God's plan. All part of God's plan. What good does it do to worry and stress anyway, right? Trust him with all of your heart. Unlike what is often portrayed on Christmas cards and in manger scenes, this cave and this feeding trough was far from anything that Hallmark puts out there. The surroundings were dark and dirty, more than likely a cave, like I said. There was livestock. I'm sure there was straw and hay everywhere and unsanitary conditions. But they were in God's perfect will. God's perfect will. Imagine. There's a lot of places you can go when you visit Israel. I love the Temple Mount. I love the Sea of Galilee and other places. But one of the most authentic places that you can visit in Israel is the Shepherd's Field in Bethlehem. You can almost know that you were pretty much in the same exact spot where the shepherds were and where Mary and Joseph were and all. To me, it's beautiful. I don't like all the fluff and all the, you know, the man-made tourist attractions. And so here we see. It's not like Hallmark, is it? The manger scene. We must also be careful not to leave Jesus lying in the manger. This little scene behind me is outdated by 2,000 years. Sometimes I'm tempted to go and just take him out. He's no longer there. And he's no longer in the grave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's getting ready to come again. And every sign that that Scripture gives us pointing to his return, we are right there today. Right there. And I'm not going to lay out a list of prophetic things that we're dealing with right now, but we are right there. And like I've said many, many, many times over the past months or years, I have never sensed the return of Jesus Christ so urgently as I do now. And that's why we're taking time this morning to get through all the tinsel and the bulbs and the trees and the Santa and reindeer and stuff. We need to get right down to business of what Christmas is all about, because this could be your last one, my friend. It really, really could. But that's okay with me. Because we're going to the wedding supper of the Lamb. But what does concern me is that there are people sitting in churches today that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They have not received God's greatest gift. They've been deceived. They bought into all the commercialism. Sad. Jesus is no longer in the manger. He grew to be a man. He was crucified for you. Yes, for you, individually, personally, and for me. He rose from the dead on the third day, just like he said he would. Ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. Amazing, isn't it? And I love it here where it says that so it was, verse 6, that they were when they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And that has a double meaning, doesn't it? And it has a wonderful meaning for you and for me. It means that you and I have been delivered. Those of us who believe, we have been delivered from sin and death. Wow. Christmas is not about a FedEx delivery. Christmas is not about an Amazon delivery. Christmas is not about UPS delivery. It's about Jesus Christ delivering you and me from sin and death forever. That's the greatest delivery of all. Special delivery. God's Son. He sent his Son into this world just for you. If you were the only person on the planet, he still would have come to this place just for you, to deliver you from sin and from death. But you know what? The same holds true physically with a package being delivered. You must receive it. You can put return to sender. I'm not ready for that religious stuff right now. I can't blame you. I don't like religion either. It's not a religion. It's a personal relationship with the true and the living God. And in order for you to receive a gift, you need to accept it. God has given you a free will, and it's up to you and I whether we want to reject or receive. Oh, that we would get as excited about God's special delivery, as excited as we get about FedEx and Amazon and UPS. Oh, people get all excited. Oh, look, the doorbell just rang. Oh, a package, you know. Till the porch pirate shows up and rips you off. And you know what? There's a porch pirate out there spiritually that wants to rip you off from the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, God's Son. He wants to steal them away. And that's why we need to focus on God's word this morning. We need to examine our own hearts. We need to ask ourselves, where are we today? Have I received God's greatest gift? He's delivered us from sin and death. Paul writes this, 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. That's a promise for you and I who have been delivered. He's delivered us from every evil, wicked thing. And not only that, he's reserved and preserved for us our home in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Paul again writing, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Praise the Lord. No matter how bad this world gets, God has delivered us from the wrath to come. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe lying or wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Bunch of stinky shepherds. That's where the good news came to, first of all, before anybody else. Where are the religious people? Where are the religious leaders? Where are the merchants? Oh, they're all renting out their rooms and their hotels and their motels and selling all their merchandise, and they're more concerned about the bucks. Here in the fields were the shepherds who supplied the lambs for the temple sacrifices. Yeah. Imagine them hearing the news of the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and they were the ones that raised the sheep for the sacrifices in the temple so that the people's sin could be covered. That's what the term means, kofar in Hebrew. The blood of the lambs was for a covering for the people's sins. But now the Lamb of God came into the world who would put our sins away once and for all. And I've circled here in verse 10, to all people, and in verse 11, to you this day. That includes you and I. Yeah, man. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. The shepherds were the first to receive the announcement. You know, they weren't even allowed in the temple because they were considered unclean because of what they had on their sandals, if you would, or handling animals or all the stuff that they weren't allowed even in the temple. How sad. Where did the gospel go to first? To the stinky people. Thank you, God, that you still bring the message to stinky people today. Old King James stinketh. And there they were. They received the announcement face to face, and they bow down before the angels. Imagine. There they are out in the darkest of nights. I'm sure the stars were shining, watching their flocks by night, when all of a sudden the glory of God shines around them. They had no clue. An angel says to them, notice in verses 10 to 12, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Imagine what that must have been like. Heavenly host of angels. I can't even imagine what that must have been like. They began praising God. In verse 14, their fear turns to great joy. That's what happens when we come to know the Lord. He takes a life filled with fear and trembling and turns it into great joy. Notice, to all people, born to you this day, a Savior. That's the Christmas story. A Savior. Do we know that? Do we grasp that? Do we hold on to that? And don't get me wrong, I enjoy the tree. We have a tree. We also have a Santa, but guess what he's doing? He's bowing down before the manger. Amen. Yeah, every knee shall bow. And I enjoy presents. Of course, the older you get, the less you need, right? Oh boy, another pair of socks, you know? Just kidding. Just kidding, Tina. Yeah. But the greatest event in the history of mankind just happened. The greatest event in the history of the whole wide world ever just happened. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ, God born in the flesh. He came to them. He came to us. He comes to all to this very day. That's what Christmas is all about, my friend. He comes to the humble, the plain, the ordinary, the stinky, to anyone with a heart that's humble enough to receive his gift, salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. Verse 15, we're getting there. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, I don't know, do you want to go see him today? I don't know, how about you? That's not what I see. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. By the way, I've got that in my Bible. I wrote, the first Christmas rush. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, not Mary, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She knew the rest of the story, didn't she? And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. As we close, these shepherds are good examples of what we need today. Do you know that pastors are also called shepherds? I wonder how many shepherds today are proclaiming the true Christmas story to the flock that they're overseeing today. How can we help but not proclaim great joy and glad tidings and forgiveness of sin and a personal relationship with the true and the living God to all who would believe? That's the bottom line. And like I said, we're just going to bring everybody down to earth for the last hour or so here as we look into God's Word. But to me, this is one of the most important messages in all of the whole Bible. All of it. Why? Because even back to Genesis chapter 5, it points to God's incredible plan, doesn't it, of what is going to take place and why Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into this world. The bottom line, just like the shepherds, is that you need to receive the message as well. That's the bottom line. There must be an immediate response. Because if you put it off and put it off, your heart gets harder and harder and harder over the years. These layers build up. And all of a sudden one day, the human heart becomes desensitized from the person of the Holy Spirit and the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Obedience. And not only that, as we close, those of us who have received the greatest gift, those of us who have been delivered by the deliverer, need to take this message outside of these doors today. We need to take this message to our kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, friends, relatives, enemies, loved ones, Democrats, Republicans. Everybody needs to hear this message because Jesus Christ is coming soon. Could this be our last Christmas? Very possible. Very possible. And again, I'm not trying to put fear in your heart. The fear that I would like to see in your heart is the fear of not knowing Jesus Christ. The fear of never having received God's greatest gift. But you know what? We can eliminate that fear right now. What a wonderful time it would be for you if you've never invited Christ into your heart to receive God's greatest gift right now around Christmas time. The greatest gift of all, God's Son, who loves you and came into this world to die for you and to deliver you and to save you from your sins. Whether people are watching on live stream or whether you're here this morning, if God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has spoken to you through His Spirit, don't push Him away. Receive His greatest gift, His Son, who loves you and who gave His life for you. And if you would like to pray to receive God's greatest gift, I'd like you to stand quickly, just like we all did one day, who received God's gift. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus, I'd like you to stand quickly right now as we close. Today is the day of salvation. Anyone? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us back down to earth, just like you brought your Son. And I pray, Lord, that the true meaning of the Christmas story would resonate deep within our minds, within our hearts, within our very souls. Emmanuel, God with us, who shall save His people from their sins. That is the true Christmas story. If there are some watching by live stream that would like to pray to receive Jesus, pray this prayer with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and my deliverer as I receive the greatest gift of all, salvation through you, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's all stand one more time. I